He is good. All the time. All the time. It is so great to have Brother Jonathan Mackey here. And did such a superb job, as I said this morning, preaching the word. And he's going to be preaching again for us here. Thank you so very much, Brother Mackey. Great to have you back. God bless you.
Praise the Lord again, everybody. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to church. All right, here we are. Amen. He's worthy of every hand clap. God is worthy of every hallelujah. He's worthy of every raised hand. He is really worthy to be praised. So it's good to see everyone in God's house. It's nice to be in a church that has Sunday night service, because more and more do not have Sunday night service. And the world wants to be so politically correct. I think the church ought to be spiritually correct. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as the manner of some is. And we should even do it more. In case you don't know it, Jesus is coming. Amen. And there's nothing more important than your relationship with God. We welcome every visitor here tonight. And again, I pray that the word of the Lord will give you direction and understanding. And again, that you will make your way to an altar tonight and talk to God. So let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. And if we could just remain standing for one more moment for the reading of the word, please. And again, I appreciate the invitation of Pastor Roy Grant to be here this weekend. And we really look forward to coming to Calvary Gospel Church. And it was nice to have Brother and Sister Thomas, you know, open up their B&B for me again. She sure makes good bacon, you know. She really does, you know. But we have the highest honor and esteem for Bishop Grant and his wife. Really do. Amen. And it's nice to see Brother and Sister Caskey this morning and tonight again. All right. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Let's all say, do. You got to do something. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. You need to gladly receive the word. Hey, everybody, when the word of God is being preached, don't barricade your heart. Open up your heart and just gladly receive it. All right? And they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And that verse 42, that first phrase, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And you may be seated in Jesus' name. Does it really make a difference what you believe? Does it really make a difference? Does it make a difference what kind of oil you put in your car? Does it make a difference what size shirt you wear? Does it make a difference how many teaspoons of sugar you ladies put in the recipe? It makes a difference. But over the most important event of your entire life, the salvation of your soul, people are so indifferent, laid back, lackadaisical. It doesn't make any difference what you believe. Just believe something. But I want every individual here to know you should be more precise about your salvation experience than what kind of oil you put in your car and how much sugar you put in the recipe. It does make a difference what you believe. Now, in the book of Acts, it's called Acts because it's how the apostles acted. I'm not sure how all the church fathers acted, but I know how the apostles acted. And, you know, in the book of Acts, there was not a Mormon church, a Lutheran church, a Baptist church, a United Pentecostal church. But there was a church in the book of Acts. In fact, everyone will recognize this is where the church began, in the city of Jerusalem, right here. And so Peter said, "What shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It's still the truth, everybody. And, you know, the promise of the Holy Ghost, my, aren't you glad your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? But verse 42 is as important as verse 38. Don't come in and repent and get baptized and receive the Holy Ghost and go wandering around out there someplace. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. But living in a day where they don't want, where the world doesn't want doctrine, it's so interesting because it's impossible to have a church without doctrine. Every church has what is called its fundamental doctrine. The reason this church is what it is because the fundamental doctrine is you must repent of your sins, be baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins, receive the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues, and there's only one God, and his name is Jesus. All right. But it's impossible to have a church without having doctrine. So how can people say, we don't want doctrine? Doctrine is the framework and the skeleton. All right? The framework and the skeleton and the backbone of any organization, of any church. Now here we are. You know, aren't you glad that the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone and the ankle bone's connected to the calf bone? The calf bone's connected to the knee bone. The knee bone's connected to the thigh bone. The thigh bone's connected to the hip bone. The hip bone's connected to the backbone. Folks, aren't you glad you got a skeleton? I mean, if you had your eyes, your kidneys, your liver, if you did not have a skeleton, you would be a big blob of flesh laying right here. Because it's the skeleton that gives definition to what the body looks like. And it's doctrine that gives definition to what the church is like. Yep. And it does make a difference what you believe. But the acid test of doctrine is it must be scriptural. Because the word of God can burn a lot of holes in a lot of doctrines. I had a 1952 Plymouth one time. And know what? It didn't start. Now, I'm not a mechanic, but I knew what the battery was. All right. So I figured, I just got to charge this battery. So I took the pliers and the screwdriver and took those two things off the thing and never picked up a battery before, and when I picked it up, it kind of tipped over a little bit on my stomach. So I strained it up, put it on a board, put the charger on it, and I walked in to the kitchen, and my mother said, "Look at your shirt." I mean, there were two yellow spots and a hole burned right through my shirt. I said, "Where did that come from?" You know, they put acid in batteries. Every time I went to the garage, I put water in mine, you know, But folks, the acid test of doctrine is it must be scriptural. Now, let's turn to the second epistle of John. There's only one chapter, so we'll turn to chapter 1. All right? The second epistle of John. Second epistle of John. All right? Verse 9. It says, Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Do you know how important this scripture is? So you just cannot believe anything, no. All right. You have to abide, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. Do you see how specific this is? This doctrine. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. I've had individuals knock on my door, and I could tell by the badge on their lapel or the magazines under their arm, they were not going to bring this doctrine into my house. So according to Scripture, I don't have to bring them in. It's 106 above and sweat's pouring off on them. You can't come in. It's 20 degrees below zero with the wind chill of 30. You can't come in. But I always brought them in. Thank God. And I said, I'm glad you guys are here. I love to talk about God. So I went and got the Word of God and turned to the book of Acts. And folks, as long as they did the talking, they had a lot of time. But as long as I started talking, suddenly they had another appointment they had to go to. Because it says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Boy, I'm glad you guys are doing a good job. Keep knocking doors. Keep passing out your literature. No, you do not bid them Godspeed or success. Because he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. You think rape is an evil deed? You think a child molestation is an evil deed? Do you know what the Bible describes as an evil deed? To preach something for truth that is not scriptural. It's an evil deed not to have Bible doctrine. I remember hearing Brother Mervyn Miller when he was a missionary to London many, many years ago. You know, he had one car bought by Sheaves for Christ, but he needed a second automobile. And I've been in London many times to preach. And over there, they don't put classifieds in the newspaper, but in the little neighborhoods, all the little shops, you can go put it in their window. So he was looking through the shops and he found a car that was in his budget. So he called the number and he went out and looked at the car. And the car was being sold by a Bible college student at a seminary outside of London. So Brother Miller, being an apostolic preacher, and this young man studying to be a minister, it's not too long till they got off the subject of cars onto the subject of the Word of God. And so the student said to Brother Miller, what kind of pastor are you? He said, well, Pentecostal. And the student said, you speak in tongues? And Brother Miller said, yes, I do. He said, praise the Lord. He said, you know what's happening in this Bible college? People are receiving the Holy Ghost here, just like in the book of Acts, and we're speaking in tongues. Well, bless God. And then the student said, I want you to meet the president of this Bible college. Brother Miller said, I'd be happy to do it. So they go across the lawn to the administration building up to the second floor, and Brother Miller has his top coat and his umbrella, because wherever you go in London, you have an umbrella. All right. So the student said, Mr. President, this man has the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, just like we do. Fantastic. So he takes his hat, coat, and umbrella, sets it over here, has his secretary bring out some tea and some crumpets. Now, a crumpet looks like an English muffin, but it tastes like a cookie. All right, and it's very good. All right, really. They have it every afternoon, tea and crumpets. So Brother Miller's sitting there, and he has his tea and his crumpet, and the Bible school president says, so you believe in speaking in tongues? Yes, sir. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for a Bible evidence. Praise God. Sips his tea, chews on his crumpet. The Bible school president says, what else do you believe? Brother Miller said, we believe in repentance. The Bible school president goes, amen. That's right. Except you repent, you're going to perish. Thank God for repentance. Took some more tea. Brother Miller says, then we baptize people by immersion. The Bible school president goes, amen. No sprinkling for water baptism in the Bible. We are buried with him by baptism. Praise God. Brother Miller says, then when we have him in the water, we baptize him in the precious name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The Bible school president stands up and goes, heresy, lunacy, false doctrine. And he takes his tea and crumpets. And he takes his umbrella and coat and throws it and grabs him by the back of his suit coat and pushes him out the door. And I'll never forget Brother Murray saying, that's how I know we have the truth. Because if the situations had been reversed, and this pastor came to an apostolic Bible college, and he told one of my students, man, I speak in tongues. I want you to meet the president of this school. And he comes into my office. Man, I would have my secretary bring out some tea and crumpets. Boy, you speak in tongues? Yes, sir. Thank God for the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And then what else do you believe? And the man would say, we believe in repentance. Brother Miller would say, yep, thank God for repentance. Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yep, sip some more tea. What else do you believe? He said, we believe in water baptism by immersion. Brother Miller says, amen, that's right. We are buried with him by baptism. And then the man says, and then we baptize them in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Brother Miller said, I would not have said heresy, lunacy, false doctrine, and kicked him out. He said, I would have hit his coat, locked the door, and told my secretary to make some more tea. All right? All right. And say, now listen, I don't agree with you on this, but what is the one name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? How come no one was ever baptized with those titles? And really, folks, everywhere we go with this message of baptism in Jesus' name, they want to throw us out. Folks, don't throw me out. Help me out. Really. I remember knocking doors one time. It was October. The man was waxing his car listening to a college football game. I said, I'm here from the Pentecostal church to invite you out to church tomorrow. He said, Pentecostal, huh? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you speak in tongues? I said, yes, sir. He said, you're full of the devil, you're going to hell, and I don't have time to talk to you. I said, you mean I messed up, I'm going to hell, and you're going to sit here and wax your car and listen to your football game and not help me? We talked for 40 minutes about speaking in tongues, all right? That's why if there's anyone here who's not baptized in Jesus' name, we're not going to throw you out. We're going to lock the door, make some tea. All right? That's what we're going to do. Because you need to be baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now what is the best interpreter of the Bible? Truth best comes by divine revelation. All right, the best interpreter of the Bible. Now let's look at the Gospel of John chapter 16. The Gospel of John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 12. John chapter 16 and verse 12. Jesus is telling his disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. All right? You cannot grasp them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you. Let's all say guide. Not pull you, coerce you, push you. Guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, when I was in high school, I was a straight-A student. But in my senior year, we had a little six-week course called English Lit, English Literature. Byron, Keats, Shelley, and Shakespeare. Right? Folks, none of that poetry stuff does anything for me. I mean, I remember taking a major exam, and the first question, the first 10 questions were about this poem about lions. Question number one, what do the lions represent to you? I put, they are vicious animals in the zoo, and it's nice to be there when they feed them. All right. It's hard for me to say this letter. I got D minus. I walked into Miss Poehler, my teacher, and I said, you gave me a D minus. She said, you deserved an F. I said, give me two Fs. I still don't know what the lions mean. She said, Jonathan, you got to get the spirit of the author. You got to get the spirit of Byron and Keats. Were they on their way to the guillotine? Were they in prison when they wrote it? So I got to get the spirit of the author, the spirit of the author, the spirit of the author. I want you to know, everybody, that this book has many writers, but it only has one author. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And I want you to know, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you now have the spirit of the author in you. And you know what? Suddenly scriptures leap off the page to you. And you have understanding that you've never had before, because truth best comes by divine revelation. But if someone does not have the Holy Ghost, what is the best interpreter of the Bible? The Bible itself. When you witness to somebody, I would like to talk to you about truth. Do you have the Holy Ghost? Oh, you don't? I'm sorry, I cannot talk to you then. No. Do you believe the Bible? Yeah, well then let's really see what the Bible says. Now let's look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, Paul writes, this is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Now we have witnesses to say that we need two or three witnesses. Deuteronomy 19:15, the testimony of one man is not enough. You need the testimony of two or three witnesses. John 8:17, Jesus said the testimony of two men is true. That was the trouble with the Judge Kavanaugh thing. You know what I'm saying? Really? All right. Matthew 18:16, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Folks, that's why the best interpreter of the Bible, if a man does not have the Spirit of God, is the Bible itself. And that is why on the day of Pentecost, when they said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Folks, no one was ever baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is not scriptural once. When people baptize that way, they are repeating the words of Jesus, but they're not obeying the command. Because Acts 2:38 says in the name, right? In Acts chapter 8, in the name. Acts 10, people got baptized again in the name. Acts 19:6, they got baptized in the name. Because the name of Jesus, the Bible says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they received the Holy Ghost in the Bible, they spoke with other tongues. I've talked to people as an evangelist. Yeah, but my eyes fluttered, and I felt a chill go down the back of my neck. Folks, I'm not saying your eyes didn't flutter, or that you did not get a chill go down the back of your neck. But if I can't find anyone in the Bible that got the Holy Ghost like I received it, I would be concerned. I want to receive the Holy Ghost like they received it in the Word of God. So in Acts 2:4, they spoke in tongues. All right, and folks, and in Acts 10:45, they spoke in tongues. Acts 19:6, they spoke in tongues. Speaking in tongues is established. And one reason I'm so thankful that I'm an apostolic preacher, because I can go to every individual in this house, I can shake your hand, every visitor, look you in the eye, and know that I have not lied to you. Do you know how good it is to be a preacher? And no, you're not deceitful. You're not twisting scriptures to make it say what you want it to say. Just accept it for what it says. Hallelujah. Except you repent, you're going to perish. God's not willing that any should perish. But all, folks, repentance is established. Baptism in Jesus' name is established. Folks, speaking in tongues is established. Because I don't have to preach this and duck. Repent. Be baptized in the... No, I'll stand right here. Tell you. Because it is the truth. You know, one witness is not enough. Because I can look at this man right here in the vest and say, he's a bank robber. Yeah? Yeah? I'm sorry, okay. I don't have the word of... I don't have the word of knowledge here, but anyway. He's a bank... But anyway... I mean, all right, who's not a bank robber here? No, But if I just said it, who cares? But if another lady said, yep, yeah, that's him. I might say, yeah, that's him. If there's three witnesses saying he's the one, man, they would be checking where he was when the bank was robbed and how much money he had in the bank. Folks, it's vital in the mouth of two or three witnesses, it's established. That's why the Word of God is really the best interpreter of the Bible, because there's no contradiction in the Word of God. Now, what I like about truth, folks, truth is a precious commodity. It really is, folks, because truth will always be well-balanced and sound. Do you know why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Any church that teaches a doctrine, a teaching that goes against Jesus Christ is an error. Because truth will always exalt Jesus Christ. Because he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. All right, truth will always exalt Jesus Christ. Now, the beautiful thing about truth is that it's always truth. The first time I preached in Calvary Gospel was in March of 1975. If I told you something then, and I tell you something different now, either I lied to you in 1975, or I'm lying to you in 2018. But the beautiful thing about truth is that it's always truth. You don't have to make it say something or examine it. No, folks, no. The Bible says the truth endureth forever. The truth will always be truth. Now, but what we need in 2018 is for people to walk through the doors of Calvary Gospel Church who want truth for the sake of truth. We need someone to come in here and say, just give me the truth. Because it's the truth that's going to set a man free. All right? And the Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. I want you to know this doctrine that we have in this building is more valuable than all the timber in Oregon. It's more valuable than all the oil in Saudi Arabia. Buy the truth and sell it not. Because sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth goes against what your favorite TV evangelist says. Sometimes the truth hurts because it goes against, folks, what grandma told you. Buy the truth and sell it not. That's why blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So instead of people reading the word of God and looking for loopholes, just say, this word is truth. It does not lie. I'll never forget one time when I pastored, I was talking to a man about speaking with other tongues. I said, I'm not taking away from any of your experience, but if you've never spoken in tongues, there's more for you. And folks, and he was getting upset. And his one fist was clenched and the veins were sticking out farther in his neck. And finally, he just closed the Bible and said, I don't want to hear this, and stomped out. And I'm a nice guy. I went after him, you know. I mean, and folks, and by the time I got out there, he was in his car, squealed his tires out of the parking lot. And it's right there where God gave me this insight. It is cheaper to obey the Bible than buy new tires. Right. You can get mad at it, you can argue, you can slam it shut, but when you come back here and read it next week or next year, it still says the same thing. His word is forever settled in heaven. Now let's look at the book of Mark, chapter 7. Mark, chapter 7. Mark, chapter 7. And verse 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse 7. In fact, verse 6 introduces it. Jesus answered, you know, he says, these people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. Full well ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own tradition. The biggest enemy that we have to truth in 2018 is not drug addiction. It's not homosexuality. Folks, the biggest enemy we have is tradition. Because the walls of tradition, they are 10 feet high. They are 8 feet thick. And truth has to hit it and hit it and hit it and hit it and hit it before it even breaks through. Because I'm in church all the time where people come in that have tradition. But you know what? Tradition stops them from clapping their hands. Tradition stops them from raising their hands. Tradition stops them from even coming to an altar and talking to God. Tradition will not save you. Truth is what's going to set you free. Yeah. Thick walls of tradition. So buy it. That they teach for the commandments of God. You know, they want to keep their own tradition. Now, my wife was raised in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Seventh-day Adventist. And when the first time I witnessed her, she could see it. She had such a hunger for God. Number one, Seventh-day Adventists baptized all their young people at the age of 12 because that's how old Jesus was when he went into the temple. But she was 16 and not baptized yet. And when I showed her Acts, in the book of Acts chapter 2, she could see it immediately. She could. She said, oh, yes, I see that. I see that. It makes sense. But then, folks, she was so concerned because she said, well, are you telling me my grandfather's lost? Are you telling me my mom's lost and my dad's lost? You know, because Seventh-day Adventists, they don't drink coffee, they don't eat chocolate, and they pay their tithe, you know? Really, so they go to church on Saturday. Folks, really, you know, they're not all boozing it up and drinking and everything. I said, Judy, I said, I don't know if your mother and dad ever heard this truth, but I said, you are hearing this truth. So she saw it. And she wanted to be baptized. In fact, when she told her mom and dad, she wanted to be baptized. In fact, I would go to church with her on Saturday so she could come to church with me on Sunday. And she was under such conviction because she knew it was absolutely essential to be baptized in Jesus' name. But back then, when you were 16, when you were under your father's roof, you really were under your father's roof. You want to leave? Okay, bye-bye. Put them out the door with your suitcase and don't give them anything, you know? You can't even come over and do your dirty laundry either. You know, you're on your own, all right? But one day she came home. She said, Mom, I just want to get baptized in Jesus' name. Boy, her mother just really didn't go into a rage. She just started crying and, you know, and she was overwhelmed. She called Sister Mackey's father home from work. He came home and took off his belt and beat her up the stairs, locked her in her room, called the police and put a peace bond on me. If I was caught communicating with her at all, I could be thrown in jail and fined. I had that 1952 Plymouth. Sister Mackey just lived one block away from me, and they had cop cars at her high school watching for my car. We lived a block away from each other and did not even talk to each other for a month. I mean, now it's not that her mom and dad were mean. They weren't. Folks, they were concerned, you know, number one, Saturday's the Sabbath, and they were so concerned that she was going to go into something false. I mean, I would feel the same way if my daughter, when she was a teenager, was going to go with the Moonies, you know, Sun, Moon, whatever his name was. But I thought, we're not the Moonies, we're the Sunnies, you know, really. I mean, I don't know. But folks, they were not mean. They were just trying to protect her. They were. So finally, after 1 month, my family and I were eating supper. And she called and she just whispered. She says, please pray, because I can't stand. So we stopped eating and got kneeled by our chairs and prayed. And then her mom and dad just had a change of attitude. All right? The next week they said, if you want to see Jay, which is my nickname, you know, go ahead. So the next Saturday night after the sunset, I went to her house and picked her up. And I said, what do you want to do? She said, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So, man, we went out. It was It was in the summertime when we went out to Leisure Lake, Wisconsin. Turned on the headlights. My father baptized her in Jesus' name. She said, hallelujah. And my dad's dancing in the spirit all over the sand, you know. All right, and she had to be home at 11 o'clock. Not midnight or 1 in the morning, you guys. 11, all right, all right. And when she walked in, her mom and dad were sitting there, and her hair was wet, and it wasn't raining out, okay. So they knew. But, you know, so there was a constant struggle. And now I'm graduated, and I'm at Bible college, and she could only get to church maybe once or twice a month, you know, but she didn't have the Holy Ghost. And so she told her dad, she said, Dad, she said, I want to go to church tonight. Her father again said, I'm so sick of this. We had such harmony in this home until you started going to that Pentecostal church. She said, Dad, I don't want an argument. I just want to go to church. He said, you do, huh? Okay. If you go, it's either that church or this family. All right? Dad, I just want to go to church. He says, okay. And he pushes her out the door and slams the door and locks it. And it's a pouring rain. She has no umbrella. She runs to the bus stop, all right, and misses the first bus, right? And so there's no shelter. There's no canopy. So she's standing in the rain, and her father just said, if you go to church, don't come home. She started to weep, you know, and the devil was speaking to her and says, oh, you're such an idiot. You know the problem you're causing, all because you want to go to this church, get the Holy Ghost. But then she began to weep in a different way as she felt the Spirit of God touch her and said, no, listen, you're doing the right thing here. It's right in that rainstorm my wife bought the truth and wasn't going to sell it. So she goes to church that Sunday night, and it's one of those usual Sunday night service, you know, sing a chorus, sing a hymn, sing another chorus, take the offering, make the announcements, preach, you know, pray 10 minutes, 14 seconds, and go out the door. But she was Seventh Adventist. She was very quiet. So she was praying in the pew. They were shutting the lights off and locking the door because she was going to sweep in the church. And then they realized she was still praying, and they come back and says, what's wrong, Judy? She said, well, my dad said if I go to church tonight, I can't come home, so I was just going to sweep in the church. Really? Well, then you don't have to sleep in the church, but let's pray. So they started praying with my wife-to-be, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost right there. Okay? So they take her home, and they wait, and my wife goes to the door, and the door is unlocked, and she goes in. But what am I saying, folks? Tradition is a hindrance. Truth is valuable. And you got to buy the truth and never sell it. And how many people... And I was just at a church where this man has felt conviction so many times. And he's of the Catholic faith. And I said, come on, Don, you know this is truth. I said, what's the problem? He said, I promised my mother I would always be a Catholic. I said, but your mother's not going to stand with you before the judgment seat of God. You're going to be there all by yourself, Don. It's amazing what tradition will do. And again, I'm not here to take away from anyone's religious experience, but I'm here to tell you truth is a hindrance. Excuse me, tradition is a hindrance to receiving truth. Because truth will always exalt Jesus Christ. So as a result, folks, that's why Madison is so blessed to have an apostolic church, because there's still a church here that is continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. If it was the truth in the book of Acts, it is still the truth on November the 18th, folks, 2018. So what's your attitude toward truth? I pray there would be people here tonight that said, yes, I want truth. I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, I need the Holy Ghost. I really want to be saved. Sometimes people have to hear it and hear it and hear it. Amen. Even before they begin to obey it. And then there's a reluctance. No, but truth is always going to be truth. So, what's your attitude? God give us hungry people. God give us thirsty people. God, give us people that say, yes, I want truth for the sake of truth. Buy it. Buy it. And don't sell it. I've seen men turn truth away because of their wife, and wives because of their husbands. You know, boyfriends because of their girlfriends, men because of their social standing. Hey, everybody, what counts is your relationship with God. And I'm here to tell you, if you put God first, he's going to put you first. And if you honor God, he will honor you. Let's stand, shall we? And let's clap our hands for truth right now. So we're making some tea over here. We don't have crumpets, but we got some English muffins. And we're not going to lock the doors, but hey, everybody. No one was ever baptized in titles. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I'm glad I know what the one name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is. Jesus Christ. So there are people here tonight. You know, if you come to this altar and repent, God's going to forgive you. God wants to fill people with the Holy Ghost, with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. There's water here and baptismal robes. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Really? If there's a backslider here, listen, don't let truth slip through your fingers. Get a hold of it again. Yep. I love this truth, everybody. Truth should put a hallelujah on your lips. He should put a clap in your hands. He should put a tap in your foot. He should cause your heart to skip a beat. And you say, preach it, Brother Mackey. Don't ever get tired of hearing this. Hallelujah. Because the first church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Let's raise our hands and love the Lord for a moment. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, let there be people hungry and thirsty to buy the truth, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give all myself to you.